Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Welcome to our June edition of Third Thursdays with Ruthie. I'm Ruthie Goodbow, a labor shareholder with Ogletree Deacons and co-chair of our firm's traditional labor practice. First, I want to welcome all of you who have been joining our Third Thursdays get-togethers for nearly 8 years. Can you believe it? And I also want to welcome those of you who have just started listening since we moved to our podcast format. Glad you're all here. So this week in our Pittsburgh office, we're hosting a three-day collective bargaining seminar, complete with mock bargaining. So in that vein and in that spirit, today I thought I'd spend our time talking about a rather nuanced issue related to collective bargaining, more specifically, negotiating union security and dues checkoff provisions. First, just so everyone's on the same page, want to make sure everybody understands the concepts we're discussing. A union security or closed shop provision requires employees to become union members or pay certain fees as a condition of employment. Union security provisions, as you might guess, are not lawful in right-to-work states. But as you can imagine, in non-right-to-work states, a union security provision is at the top of the union's priority list in negotiation because it means a guaranteed income stream for them. Where there is union security clause negotiated into the contract, the union's next priority is to collect those fees, required dues, and other assessments. That's why dues checkoff is almost always the union's second priority in non-right-to-work states. Even in right-to-work states where union membership is optional, collecting those dues from employees who do decide to join the union can be very inconvenient for the union. That's why dues checkoff is so important. Dues checkoff requires the employer to deduct union dues and sometimes other fees from the employee's paycheck. This means that the employer takes on the administrative costs and responsibilities to make sure the union is paid. While both of these provisions are properly the subject of bargaining, the law doesn't require an employer to agree to any union proposal. I think everybody knows that. The National Labor Relations Act only requires an employer and a union to negotiate in good faith, which places an obligation on the parties to meet and negotiate at reasonable times and places with an open mind or a willingness to reach an agreement on mandatory subjects of bargaining. As any seasoned negotiator knows, and you notice I said season, not experience or long-term because that give away my age. As any seasoned negotiator knows, there are many facets to the negotiation for the inclusion of union security or dues checkoff provisions. As mentioned earlier, compulsory membership and or automatic dues deductions is more than a convenience for most unions. It can be their lifeblood. Unions would also say that checkoff, for example, doesn't really cost the employers a very large amount of money, or it's not that much of an administrative responsibility. And so having dues checkoff is probably more palatable than having union officials on site shaking down employees for monthly payments. So the question arises as to whether a refusal to agree to include either union security or dues checkoff is evidence of bad faith bargaining. Recall that good faith bargaining encompasses a genuine intent to reach an agreement if one is possible. Now, that's an intent to reach an agreement, a collective bargaining agreement, not necessarily an intent to reach agreement on each and every proposal or provision. Over the years, however, the National Labor Relations Board has looked at an employer's intransigence over a particular issue, as well as whether a sound business reason for its position was articulated And they use this to determine whether that employer has failed to bargain in good faith. This has been particularly true when it comes to these two provisions. You might say there is a difference between hard bargaining and bad faith bargaining, and there certainly is. And when looking at this language, the board is especially interested in how the employer bargains, not only over this subject, but what's been happening throughout the course of the negotiations. In other words, looking at the totality of the circumstances. Now, there's many reasons that an employer may agree to have union security or dues checkoff in the contract, but there are an equal number of reasons why they may not want to include those provisions. And that can range anywhere from they just don't want to be caught up in the union's business, but it also may be a philosophical approach, especially in right-to-work states, where an employer may not believe that an employee should be forced to join a union as a condition of employment. In February 2017, the board affirmed an ALJ decision, Apogee Retail, doing business as Unique Thrift Store, where the union alleged the employer was engaged in bad faith bargaining because it refused to agree to either a union security provision or dues checkoff. And the board, affirming the ALJ's decision, rejected that claim, even though the ALJ found that the employer failed to specifically explain why it wouldn't agree to those terms. Now, this case involved a first contract, and that's an important point. And after many bargaining sessions, the parties had reached agreement on all proposals except for these two. During one of the sessions, the employer asked the union some questions about the proposed language and made a statement that with dues deductions, it would leave employees either at or below minimum wage. At the next session, when the union again asked for the employer's agreement on these two provisions, the employer simply stated it wouldn't agree to them because it didn't have to. There was some email exchange, and the employer again said, we don't have to agree to these terms, and so we're not going to. As one might expect, ULP followed. At the ALJ level, the ALJ dismissed the charge, stating that although the employer's reason for the rejection of the proposal, we don't have to, wasn't much of a reasoned reason, and I'm not using that language, that was the ALJ's language, there was no other mandatory subject of bargaining that requires, as a matter of law, that the proposal's opponent justify or offer a reason for its opposition. I think anybody who's been involved in negotiation knows that. Yes, you may at times decide to explain why you do not want a particular proposal, but there are certain circumstances, for example, financial reasons, that you just want to say no, as they say, because you don't want to open up the employer to an information request about the financial status of the particular business or organization. In this case, the judge did note that the employer had raised the minimum wage issue, and more importantly, he noted that the parties had agreed on every other term, and that was evidence of good faith bargaining. The board agreed with the judge's analysis and conclusion. So where does that leave us? First, understand the importance and power of the union security and dues checkoff in the cadence of your bargaining, especially in first contract negotiation. An employer may want to hold off on agreeing to these provisions until it's reached agreement on economic terms and other significant language proposals. Anyone who's been through bargaining knows these are the first two things the union wants to get a TA or tentative agreement on. They want to start with that and then move on. So think about doing it in the reverse. Your ability to leverage these provisions for acceptable economic terms, of course, diminishes in future contracts. Also, there are cases out there that have found that seeking to remove union security or dues checkoff in a successor contract may be seen as recessionary bargaining by the union and bad faith by the board. Next, even if you make the decision to reject union security or checkoff proposals, provide the union your reasoning for doing so. Credible and even legitimate explanations for a refusal to agree are not necessarily a silver bullet against ULP charges, because the board will look at the entirety of the bargaining process in determining whether you've met your obligations of good faith. But having stated and documented those credible, legitimate, honest reasons will go a long way to supporting your argument. Finally, even though the general counsel said in recent remarks that the board may soon rule on the ALJ on an ALJ's decision that a security company violated the act by ceasing dues checkoff after the expiration of its CBA, that decision may take some time working its way through appeals. Why do I bring that up? Because until then, and in anticipation of future boards that may overturn such precedents, you should work to carefully craft union security and checkoff language if you decide to agree to them, so that those requirements expire with the contract. That way, there's some leverage in getting the union back to the table at expiration and even getting the union to be more flexible in those contract negotiations. As General Counsel Rob said when speaking at a recent labor conference in New York City, and this is a quote, "I think unless there's clear language that the dues checkoff should continue, it shouldn't." I agree, but pin up that state of affairs with some good language. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me. Remember, you can send me ideas for future casts via the Ogletree website. And remember to follow me on Twitter at #RuthieLaborLaw. Now, as always, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. See you next month.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.